If you listen to NPR's Morning Edition, you've probably heard the commentaries of Matthew Lesko, whose specialty is how to make the most of the resources made available by the government. His Morning Edition reports have advised listeners of the thousands of free brochures that are ours for the asking. Lesko's new book is called Getting Yours, The Complete Guide to Government Money. It's a source book for loans, mortgages, job training, grants, unemployment funds, and business financing. Matthew Lesko is the founder of Washington Resources, an information service based in Washington, D.C., which helps business clients utilize federal information resources. His new group, Information USA, provides similar services for the general public. Lesko is also a columnist for Good Housekeeping. He writes on money matters. Welcome to Fresh Air, Matthew Lesko.
Pleasure to be here, Terry. Thank you so.
How'd you get into the information biz?
By accident. I had two other businesses that failed. I was looking for something to do. And my background was really before this was computers, designing computerized management information systems. Had a computer business that failed and had to go work for somebody again. And worked for somebody designing management information systems. But then I got involved in mergers and acquisitions. And when I got involved there, after about a year, they wanted me to move somewhere. And what I was doing for their mergers and acquisitions team was sort of like I saw them making decisions on buying companies based on just financial information they get from the accountants. And I said, hey, let me see what I could get just in the marketplace about this company or about the growth potential of this business. And I was seeing that, you know, in a few phone calls, I get anything. You know, like the company I was with was interested in buying Avis. And I remember in about 2-3 phone calls, I found the ex-president of Hertz, who was in Washington. You know, he was running a trade association now. And that fella just sat down with me the entire lunch and told me all about the, you know, the car rental business and the whole thing about the market and who's big and strong and who's not and why. And it was just amazing. I came in my report from this one conversation, just blew everybody away. They were just astounded. And it seemed so easy to me. So I said, yeah, maybe there's a business in this. And my dreams was to maybe be big enough in this business to hire a secretary or an assistant someday. And that was my ultimate goal. And I started with a phone and a desk in my bedroom, and that was it. And waited there for people just to, you know, find me and work for them, find information. And I had a feeling, though, for the first 6 months, the only people who knew I was in business was my wife, you know, because my bedroom, not because my desk was in my bedroom, but because of my poor marketing ability. And then the business just grew. In 3-4 years, we had 40-some people doing this thing. And it just went topsy-turvy beyond my wildest imagination. And I saw that no matter what a client asked us to get, then we started to handle, we handle client business questions on anything. So if a client calls up and they want to know maybe what's the latest technology in water desalinization or what is the market for barbecue utensils in southern New Jersey, we get the answers to questions like that.
Where would you look on the barbecue question?
There's somebody in the Commerce Department. That's all he does. He's a market analyst for all those barbecue utensils. Call him up, and he had the information, everything we wanted. So we found no matter what our clients would ask, there was someone in the federal government spending a career studying the subject that our clients needed information on. So what we were doing and what we still do is charge our clients like $50, $75 an hour to get information that's free that they've already paid for through their taxes. That's already available in the federal government, but nobody knows it's there.
That's some racket, isn't it?
You bet. Not bad business. So I finally found something. Yeah, I can make a buck at it.
So do you make people who get hired by the government sign in with you and tell you what their area of expertise is, or do you have another technique of finding out who does what?
No, it's sort of I have a philosophy is that you could find an expert on anything in 7 phone calls. I say it takes an average of 7 phone calls to find an expert on anything. But what happens, Terry, is people, you know, who are not in the business or not used to it will get on the phone and they'll make 3 or 4 phone calls. And after that, by then they're not talking to their expert. They're not talking to the person they want. They're not talking to their barbecue utensil expert. They haven't found them yet. So what they do is they give up because they're not they're talking to people who don't care about barbecue utensils and they don't care about what they're studying. So they're not sensitive to their needs. So they have these sort of like relationships that aren't very good. You know, they have 4 or 5 of these and they say, oh, I don't need this aggravation anymore. And they give up and they'll call us and we know it's there. And we know it's just 2 more phone calls, you'll make it. You know, but once you find your expert, You know, then the magic happens. You know, if you get through those couple of phone calls it takes to find your expert, once you find your expert, you're asking that expert to share with you what he's been spending a lifetime studying. You know, if it's barbecue utensils, he spent the last 15 years studying barbecue utensils. And no one seems to really care about it in the government until you ask. So you call up and ask him what he's been spending a lifetime studying. And usually the problem isn't getting the information, Terry. The problem is getting off the phone. He's been spending 17 years studying barbecue utensils. You call up and you have the feeling, finally, somebody asked. Finally, somebody called him and asked to share that knowledge he's been spending 17 years accumulating. You know, so that's the magic. And it's a national resource, Terry. All these people, you know, are on the federal government. They're your tax dollars, my tax dollars, that are going for this. And they're sitting there and wanting to share that information. People really need it. I mean, the bureaucrat stories that people get, you know, are really the people they're talking to who are not the barbecue utensil experts. So when you're talking to barbecue utensil experts and you want to know about barbecue utensils, the magic happens. You get all you want. But when you're talking to – you want information about barbecue utensils and you're talking to the potato expert, that potato expert doesn't care about barbecue utensils. And so they may be, you know, a little less than kind to you sometimes. So what happens, people call people they don't want to talk to in the government. Then they get upset. You don't know about barbecue utensils. Why are you treating me like this? And they get – and then they finally hit their barbecue utensil expert, and they're so angry, they get on the phone and say, damn it, you have to tell me about barbecue utensils, you know, because I've made 6 phone calls, you know, and nobody's been helping me, and things like this. And then even the person who has all that knowledge, you know, I mean, you sound like the highlight of nobody's day on the phone, and they don't want to help you either. So that's why getting information or help or resources from the government, no matter where it is, I see it as a people business. It's just a numbers game as far as finding the expert. But then it becomes a people business, and that's where it's magic. Because they get the same paycheck, remember, Terry, whether they work for you for free for 2 weeks or hang up on you right after you say hello. They get the exact same paycheck. So when you find your expert, you have to be, you know, realize, you know, how, you know, to start using your personality to get that person to want to work with you. You know, and that's why how you say hello is so important. The first words out of your mouth. Because then, I mean, if you say, you know, the first words they hear on the other side of the phone, well, give me this information, you know, you, again, don't sound like the highlight of the day. But if you can, in the first words out of your, that come out of your mouth, sound like you're going to be a pleasant experience and get them to settle back in their chair and get comfortable with you on the phone, that's when the magic is going to happen. You have to be open, too. I got a list of 11 rules, really. Maybe that's what I should do on my Morning Edition program, is 11 rules for getting people information over the phone. Yeah, that's what it's all about, just treating people nicely.
What are some of your rules?
Well, again, it's being open. A lot of people call up, particularly if you're, you know, in our business, we get information on competitors, and we call up, and a lot of people will call up, and they're afraid to say why they're getting it or anything, and they're very clandestine and stuff like this, and then the people start saying, well, who are you? Who are you with? You know, why are you seeing this information? And they'll say, oh, no need to know who we are, you know, things like this. But that's why we have a saying that if they have to ask you who you are or why you need the information, you're not doing your job. You have to eliminate any air of mystery right off the bat so they feel free in giving you this information. You know, return favors. Talk about other things. You know, get them to know you as a person, not just a business person. You know, I'm calling for business information. I'm Mr. Business and I need business information today. And, you know, people want to relate on a deeper level than that, and because it's harder to flunk somebody you know. So get them to know you as an individual. Talk about the, you know, the Sixers winning last night finally or whatever, you know, to let them know you more. Because I remember when I taught school, you know, if I had 2 people flunking, and I taught college for about 3 years, if I had 2 people flunking in the class, you know, the person who would come after class, undoubtedly one would be a little smarter and start coming after class and my office hours and showing me pictures of his dog and his mother and things like this. And I'd say, oh, I had a dog like that, or I had a mother like that. That kid got smarter as the semester went on. I don't know. The more I got to know that person as a human being, he got smarter. And at the end of the semester, he was a lot easier to pass, give the benefit of the doubt, than that son of a gun who, you know, I didn't know from, you know, a hole in the wall. He was so easy to flunk that person I didn't know. Getting information is the same way.
You said it takes about 7 phone calls to reach your destination in information. But I think most of us have had experiences of having to make 8 or 9 just to find out what form we need.
That's
for something.
Right.
A really simple thing. And you get put from one extension to the other.
Oh, it's an average of 7.
And it's very frustrating. How do you know where to start? Say you're looking for something that's pretty obscure and you're convinced that somewhere in Washington there's an expert who's on the government
payroll. Well, you know what to do is get people – I mean, if you're not really sure, what I do, the first thing I say, who has to know this stuff? Whose business is it to, you know, they should know this stuff. You know, you want to know how much it costs to build a nuclear power plant? Well, someone in energy has to know that stuff. But if you're not even that clever and, you know, can relate things like that, what I would do, there's a whole bunch of organizations in Washington that will do that research for free. You could call the local federal information center and say, hey, I want to know the latest, you know, the supply and demand of Maine potatoes. Who in the government could I talk to? They'll find you someone. You could call the National Referral Center, which is part of the Library of Congress. They'll find you a free expert. An organization provides free information on any topic anywhere in the world, and their services for free. You call your local congressman's district office. That's what they're there for. They have people there to work on problems, how the government can help you. So these are people that actually do what we charge $75 an hour for. They'll do it for free.
Do you think that these people resent you since you're making your living and paying your staff a 40 based on what they're supposed to do for free? You're also making more work for them.
Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, those that do resent it, I think are I think it's small-minded, you know, I mean, but I'm very biased about it, so I'm not the person to ask. Some people do resent it because they're making too much work. Well, I mean, I feel the government isn't just for special people. The government is our government, and it's for everybody. And if somebody has a right to that information or services or money or whatever it is, we all have a right to it, and that's what it should be. And if we're either cut off the program so nobody has it or it's for everybody, and we shouldn't be – we're not a country of elitists. I mean, we are, but we, you know, in theory, we shouldn't be. And I don't want to contribute to that.
When you have a personal need for information, do you find that you know how to do it, or do you start stumbling when it's personal?
It surprises me. Like, I had a back problem for years and years, you know, and I thought it was from my Navy. I spent 3 years, 2 months, 9 days in the Navy, and I had a sore back for 10 years after that. And I thought, oh, it was probably just from the Navy. And I'm sitting there. This was the first 6 months of my business when nobody was calling me, and I thought, well, let's go take your own medicine. I called NIH, National Institutes of Health, and I found a person there who really runs a budget of literally hundreds of millions of dollars every year trying to figure out the causes to back problems. And I've been going to my doctor for years, you know, and he was giving me stuff like, well, everybody has them. You know, I know, but, you know, that really doesn't help me. So I called NIH, and I found that one person really in the world spending millions of dollars of taxpayers' money every year trying to figure out the problems to back problems. And he was telling me how, like, 99% of, you know, the research showed that 99% of the back problems is really because of the way we spend our life. We sit down most of the time, tension, you know, tightens the muscles in the back. Those vertebrae start going on top of each other and everything. And the results is really not exercising those muscles. So keeping those muscles flexible really would eliminate back problems, you know, for 99% of the people. And he recommended some books and things like that. And really within 2-3 weeks, my back problem went away. And I couldn't believe it. You know, I've been going to my doctor all this time, you know, and just thought it was something I had to live with. And right there in my backyard was the best available expertise in the world on that subject for the price of a phone call.
Could we all call him too?
You bet.
What's his name?
Actually, he just retired.
Oh, too bad.
I got it at home, though, if you really want to tell me. His office.
All right. I'll call you.
You have back problems?
Well, a little one, yeah. We'll see what he can do. You've been doing your feature on NPR for a number of months.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get the most feedback about? You always give out information about how you can get a brochure for free from the government or
Actually, the brochure is my brochure. See, I make up a brochure because I have a problem when – see, most of the stuff I talk about in Washington is where to go for this, where to go for that. And what I don't like to do – I don't think it's really helpful to sit there on the radio and say, well, you want this information, call the Department of Defense. You know, and you look on the phone book, there are 82,000 numbers for the Department of Defense. Again, it's going to take you nine phone calls just to say where. So what I devise my program in the morning edition is I give out a free handout. My free handout, not the government's, that lists all the sources of where to go on that topic. Like when we did one at home, I had, you know, like almost 150 sources of information of either expertise or free pamphlets or whatever on that subject. The biggest one we had was government red tag specials. I must have had over 5,000 inquiries on government red tag specials. And people still want that. They have to write NPR up in Washington and red tag specials. And that showed over 22 actually free commodities you could get from the federal government. Like, you know, you could get free shrubbery from the federal government. You could get things like free Christmas trees from the federal government. You could get free fish, free horses. All these things are available for free. Or even surplus property from the federal government that's available at 10 or 20% of original value. You know, and if you're a nonprofit organization like NPR, you could get free surplus property from the government. You could furnish all your NPR studios with government property surplus for free. They give it to nonprofits free. Nonprofit organizations also get land from the government for free. I was just read about another case of a nonprofit organization in California got an entire Air Force base for a dollar from the federal government. Anybody, folks like you and I, could take advantage of houses for a dollar under the Urban Homesteading Act. Like a woman up in Cleveland I talked to was paying rent at $300 a month for herself and her two children, found one of these houses for a dollar under the Urban Homesteading Act, and what she also got was a rehabilitation loan from the government for $10,000 because the house was in great shape. Fixed it up, now has a great house, and only pays $150 a month and owns her house versus $300 a month as a renter. All these kind of programs, and most of those actually are in my book too, and that's why I think the book is doing so well. I guess people, you know, in addition to, you know, goods, you know, in addition to services, you know, the government has so much money and goods available, too, that people don't know about.
You know, in all those months of hearing you on Morning Edition, I think I misunderstood what you were giving
really?
Away.
Really?
I thought, like, I could write and get a free brochure from an agency about something.
I see.
And I have this basic distrust of free brochures. I figured, like, the free brochure that tells you how to save money is, here's a money-saving tip. Turn off your heat in the winter.
Right.
You know? So, something
well,
that's, like, really obvious
like
and
that.
You can't
yeah,
really take advantage
right.
of.
A lot of them are like that, but I'm trying to connect people to our sources. In other words, I really think people have to help themselves, you know, and I want to give them the tools, the hammer, the saws, or whatever, to build their house. I don't want to build it for them. I think people get more out of it that way.
Well, your new book, Getting Yours, is on getting money and loans and information about mortgages, things like that. How do you think the current administration has affected the availability of the kinds of monies that you
Well, you know, it's amazing. We read the headlines, no more money in the federal government, program cutbacks, things like that. That's true. Some programs have been cut back, and the requirements have been changed on others, and they dropped a few. But there's over 800 programs, Terry, in the federal government, and what the headlines talk about are just one or two programs. 800 programs. In 1982, the federal government is going to give out $678 billion worth of loans, grants, loan guarantees, and direct payments. That's an average of $4,500 that's going to be given out this year alone to every U.S. adult. That's how much money is going to be given out. You know, and the amount of – this has actually increased. After Reagan budget cuts in 1982, this money has increased 6.6% over 1981. So it's really a misnomer when we talk about budget cuts. What has been cut is the growth of this money. The rate of growth in this money has been cut, not the absolute dollar value. So there's more money available in these programs than ever before. And another thing people don't realize, there's more than one program for anything. Like people trying to get college money. You know, go to college. We read about the cuts in college money. Well, there's more money available for college students this year than ever before. They've changed the requirements in some programs, but there's 80 different programs that people could take advantage of. I mean, there's 30, you know, programs that offer traineeships and scholarships and everything from drug abuse to air pollution. Graduate students who are worried about their program money going away next year should look other places besides the Department of Education for their money. I've seen graduate students get $10,000 from the Department of Labor to do their thesis because it was labor productivity. Or money from the Department of Energy, $15,000 to do their thesis because it was a coal-related topic. The Smithsonian Institution gives graduate students $14,000 a year to study things like history of music in the White House or Art Deco in New York City during the 1940s. Even if you don't want to go to school, you want to play jazz saxophone. I was talking to a jazz saxophone player in New England who got $10,000 to study his jazz saxophone for a year and write music. You know, there's 12 programs aimed at science education alone. You want to do a film. Some recent Academy Award award winners have been originally financed with money from the federal government. Best Boy, that was produced right here in Philadelphia. That was originally started with money from the federal government. Harlan County, USA was another Academy Award winner that's originally financed money from the feds. But nobody knows there's money there. The problem is we have $678 billion that has to be given out in 1982, and there's not a nickel spent to let you and I know that this money is there. So the whole country runs around thinking either that money is only for real poor people or it's for people who take congressmen and senators to lunch. That's what I thought before I came to Washington. I grew up in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and to me, you know, getting money from the federal government was beyond my imagination. But no, it's for folks who know it's there. To do this book, I interviewed over 300 people, you know, folks like you and I that got money to change their lives, you know, like the saxophone player or the lady who got the house for a dollar in Cleveland. There's a boys club in Jersey City I talked to who got $250,000 from the Department of Interior to take an abandoned coal dump and make it into a playground and gymnasium for themselves. You know, you could get $25,000 from the Department of Interior to become a prospector and mine for gold or silver or whatever you want. I mean, there's 800 programs. Individuals alone are eligible for 500 of these programs.
What are your tips for applying for locating the place?
Right.
And then applying.
The problem is you have to know where the program is. And again, nobody's doing that. If you don't have my book, I mean, my book is really an accessible place that collects them all. If you don't have that, think of the agencies, you know, that may be interested and just ask for a collection of all their programs. You need a shopping list to ask for because no one in the government is going to ask you. Like you're interested in business. Well, you go to the Small Business Administration. True that they're going to lend out, you know, give over 20,000 businesses loans this year to start businesses, 20,000 just this year alone. But there's other places you can get money to start a business. Department of Commerce, I was reading the paper today in the Wall Street Journal, how a fellow found a special program in the Department of Commerce. He got $75,000. His business was going out of business because of imports. He found a special program that helps businesses like that in the Department of Commerce. The Agriculture Department will help your business. I've seen them start winery businesses and catfish farming businesses. A friend of mine in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania had a little dairy farm, couldn't get rid of excess cream. He got $100,000 from the Department of Agriculture to start an ice cream store to get rid of his excess cream. NOAA, National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, gives out money to people get in the fishing business. They have separate loans, startup money, other loans to buy boats, and other money if your boat wrecks and you can get money from that. So you have to look at other places than the obvious. And that's the problem. People don't know where to look, and you need a big shopping list somehow to go for. And you could apply for more than one program. You know, just don't apply for one program like housing. There's 45 programs people could take advantage of to either buy a house or fix up their old house or even their condominium. The federal government is going to finance over 600,000 homes in 1982. We're only going to build 1 million homes. There's separate money set aside if you want to buy or build a home in an old area of town. Other funds are set aside if you want to buy or build a home in a new area of town or in an outlying area. Or if you're a special credit risk, maybe you went bankrupt last year, they have special funds set aside just for that. Or if you want to buy or build an experimental home, they have other money for that. You know, and if you get confused about the application, Terry, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to go through that paperwork and things like that. There's other tips you could take advantage of. Like, you have the right to see a copy of a successful application. So when you're filling out that application and you're confused about it, go back to the program officer and say, hey, I'd like to see a copy of an application of somebody who got the money last year. You know, and it's sort of like getting the test ahead of time. But, you know, you could use that to see exactly what they want. Because what you have to do is give them what they want.
We're running out of time, but it's curious to me that you're so optimistic about all these funds that are available where everybody else feels that the money's dried up. And some of the examples that you use, the saxophonist and the – was there a dancer in there or something? Isn't that mostly National Endowment for the Arts type money? And hasn't that, in fact, really shrunk considerably?
Well, the Endowment of the Arts – did shrink from last year. Their budget has been cut. But people – I'm talking to program officers in that facility are worried that they're not going to have enough applications because everyone thinks there's no more money there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a problem in the federal government. You know, that now everybody thinks the budget cuts aren't there, so nobody's going to apply for the money. You know, the same way college students, you hear about the college money. Well, I have no more money to go to college. No, there's 80 programs in the federal government. People go to college. You know, there's more money than ever before. Same way, and they're still passing legislation. I mean, you read in the paper, just this last month alone, 3 new programs went through. They just gave another $1.2 billion to the college students. That's for 1982, not 83. They just passed another housing subsidy program where they're going to finance another 100,000 homes, you know, with government money. So, it's still going on. And if people think it's not there, it's silly to think that because it's there and it's their money. You know, we all pay for this through our taxes. There's ridiculous programs where people get money to build tennis courts and golf courses in their backyard, or I even see people get money to build a solar heated outhouse. You know, and they think that's another thing. People think the Department of Energy isn't there anymore. No, it's there. And even when if they do get rid of it, it'll still be there, but in different agencies. It's just, mirrors they're using so much in Washington. And I barely understand it by being there. Also, there's program off-budget money. The budget is one thing, but there's another bunch of money they give that's off-budget.
Well, okay. Thanks for telling us about some of these resources. Matthew Lesko has been my guest. You may also know him as a contributor to Morning Edition.